I want to start today with a feeling I think a lot of us are painfully familiar with.
Okay.
You know that moment when you're pushing a boulder uphill?
Yeah.
You're trying to build a new habit or maybe let go of an old, unhelpful one, and it just feels like a grind.
Pure unadulterated grind. Yeah, I know that feeling.
And popular culture just tells us, just visualize the reward. You know, think of the joy at the finish line.
Right, the classic light at the end of the tunnel strategy. Keep suffering now so you can be happy later.
Exactly. It's the dessert logic. You eat your broccoli now, you get the cake later.
Yeah.
But what if that whole strategy is actually backward?
Mm.
What if waiting for joy at the finish line is the reason we burn out halfway up the hill? We're diving into something today that I think completely flips the physics of emotional energy.
It really does. We are looking at Chapter 47 of the RAFT to Freedom program. And the core argument here is that we've, well, fundamentally misunderstood the function of joy. We treat it like a prize. But the RAFT program argues that in the context of mental training, joy isn't the dessert, it's the carbohydrates, it's the fuel.
I love that. Joy is carbs.
Sure.
So we're looking at the RAFT program, specifically this concept of energizing joy. Before we get into the mechanics of, how to get this fuel, can you reset the room for us? What is the RAFT framework?
Sure. So RAFT is an acronym, RAFT, and it's pronounced just like the boat, raft.
Raft. Got
It
it.
was developed by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. It stands for Recognize, Abandon, Freedom, and Train. It's essentially a modernized, structured approach to some very old wisdom on how to deconstruct deep-seated habits.
Okay, so recognize the habit, abandon the impulse, verify the freedom, and then train the mind to stay there.
That's the high-level view, yeah. Recognize, abandon, freedom, train.
Right.
But today, we are deep in that train phase, and this is where most people stumble. Because training rewiring your brain to step away from those sticky, repetitive patterns is exhausting.
And if you're just relying on willpower.
You are going to run out of gas. Simple as that.
Which brings us to Chapter 47. The mission for this deep dive is to unpack a distinction that, honestly, I missed the first time I skimmed this.
Yeah.
The RAFT program notes that there are two types of joy,
Yes.
and confusing them is fatal to the process.
It's a classic trap. The notes in the RAFT program highlight that in English, we just use one word, joy, for everything.
Right.
But in the original Pali, the language these concepts come from, there are distinct terms with totally different mechanics. If you try to use one when you need the other, the engine just stalls.
Okay, let's break these down then. The first type is something we covered way back in Chapter 35. They call it mudita.
Right, mudita. It's usually translated as appreciative joy or maybe sympathetic joy.
Okay.
Think of this as the social joy. It's outward facing. It's the practice of looking at someone else's success or even your own good fortune and actively choosing to be happy about it.
This is the anti-envy joy.
Precisely. It's an antidote. If you feel jealousy bubbling up because your colleague got a promotion, you use mudita to counter it. You're doing something.
You're generating it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The RAFT program uses the metaphor of a rope for this. You use the rope to pull yourself out of a hole of, say, cynicism or despair.
Okay, so mudita is a rope. It requires effort. I have to pull. But Chapter 47 introduces the second type, piti. And the RAFT program gets very specific. It calls it energizing joy. How is this different from just being happy for someone?
Piti is visceral, it's somatic. While mudita is a social emotion or an attitude we cultivate, piti is a physiological event. The text uses words like rapture, zest, or thrill.
Zest is an interesting choice of words. It sounds a bit like a soap commercial, but in this context, it implies energy, right?
It does. And here's the crucial distinction. Mudita, the rope, is something you do. Piti, the zest, is something that happens to you.
Oh,
You
well.
cannot do piti.
Wait, pause there. If it's a fuel source and I can't do it, that sounds like a problem. If I'm tired, if I'm struggling with cravings, feeling low, and I need this zest, but I can't just turn it on.
Well, how is that helpful?
Yeah.
That is the million-dollar question of Chapter 47. The text describes piti as a support, specifically one of the seven supports or brichaga. These are factors required for liberation, but you can't manufacture it directly.
So what do you do?
It's a byproduct
A byproduct of what?
of release. This is the physics part.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a compressed spring. That spring is your mind under the tension of craving. I want this, I need that, or aversion, I hate this, get it away from me.
Okay.
That tension consumes a massive amount of energy.
So I'm burning energy, just holding the spring down.
Constantly. When you successfully abandon a craving, even a small one, even just for a moment, that spring releases. the energy that was tied up in the tension is suddenly liberated.
And that rush.
That rush of liberated energy, that's PD.
Oh, that just clicked. So mudita is my heart rejoicing for someone. PD is my heart rejoicing from a state of release.
You've got it. And this is why the RAFT program warns against confusing them. If you try to force yourself to feel zest, if you hype yourself up like a motivational speaker, you're actually adding more tension.
You're compressing the spring harder.
You're spending energy to fake energy.
Which leads to exhaustion.
Exactly. But if you focus on the release, on the letting go, the energy arises naturally. The RAFT program references a very famous teaching from Gautama, the Buddha here, called the Upanishad Sutta.
I saw that in the notes. It looked like a domino chain for the mind.
It is. It's a causal sequence. Mm-hmm. And it explains exactly how to get this fuel. Gautama mapped out that freedom from remorse leads to gladness.
Okay.
And gladness leads to PD energizing joy.
Freedom from remorse.
Yeah.
That feels like a heavy place to start.
It's foundational. In the RAFT context, this connects to the recognize and abandon phases. When you aren't acting on every impulse, when you aren't, you know, violating your own values, you stop carrying the heavy luggage of guilt.
You feel lighter.
And that lightness is the spark.
So practically speaking, if I'm feeling burned out in my practice or my life, the advice from Chapter 47 isn't try harder to be happy.
No.
It's go clean up your remorse.
Yes. Go see where you are carrying the weight of unskillful actions or old regrets. Put that down. The gladness that rises from just not feeling guilty, that's the pilot light that ignites the PD.
The RAFT program uses some really evocative language here. It talks about the land of perpetual dawn. It sounds like a fantasy novel, but I assume they aren't talking about Narnia.
No Narnia. It's a metaphor for that state of rising energy.
Yeah.
Appreciative joy, the rope, is the work we do in the dark to pull ourselves up.
But energizing joy.
That's the sunrise. It signifies that the darkness is breaking. It's the dawn of the practice working on its own momentum.
I want to push on this idea of momentum because the text lists PD as a support. Why a support? What is it supporting?
It supports the train aspect of RAFT. Think about meditation or even just trying to be a more patient parent. It takes focus. If your mind is low energy, it drifts. It gets dull.
And PD.
PD is the caffeine that keeps the mind sharp and interested.
So it's not just feeling good. It's functional.
Completely functional. In the deep states of concentration described in the RAFT program, PD is what allows the mind to stay fixed on an object for long periods without getting bored. It makes the present moment fascinating.
But there's a danger here, right? I was reading about the enemies of joy. This is a concept I always find fascinating, that every virtue has an evil twin.
The near and far enemies.
Yes.
And this is crucial for you to understand so you don't get sidetracked.
Okay, let's start with the far enemy. That's the obvious opposite.
Right. The far enemy of energizing joy is lethargy, sloth, that feeling of being stuck in mud.
Makes sense. But the near enemy is the tricky one, the imposter. What does fake PD look like?
The near enemy is excitement or agitation.
Wait, isn't excitement good? I thought we wanted zest.
There's a subtle but vital difference. Excitement, in this psychological sense, is usually agitated. It's breathless. It's, I can't wait for what happens next. It's future-focused.
Okay.
PD is grounded in the now. It's refreshing, not exhausting.
Hmm.
If you feel wired or manic, that's the near enemy. That will burn you out.
That is such a nuanced distinction. So PD is sustainable energy, whereas excitement is like a sugar rush.
Exactly. And the RAFT program wants you to verify this personally. That's the F in RAFT freedom.
Right.
And the text defines F explicitly as freedom from cravings, aversions, and confusions can be personally experienced and verified.
Verified. That's the scientific part.
And PD is the verification. When you feel that clean, sustainable energy rising, it's your body confirming, hey, the system is working. You let go of the burden, and now you have the power back.
You know, this conversation makes me think of the hustle culture we live in. We are constantly told to crush it, to generate energy, to hype ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
But this chapter seems to be suggesting that we don't need to generate energy. We just need to stop leaking it.
That is a brilliant way to put it. We are energy leakers. We leak energy into worry, into regret, into wanting things to be different than they are.
There's a quote in the RAFT program from Christina Feldman that really nailed this for me.
Which one?
She says, "When we learn to delight in what is good in ourselves, we are no longer driven by lack. Joy becomes the expression of enoughness.
The expression of enoughness. Let that sink in. Usually we pursue joy because we feel a lack. I'll be joyful when I get the car, when I resolve this issue.
Right.
Feldman is saying that true piety arises when you realize you don't need anything else. You are full.
It reverses the consumption model. We don't consume to get joy. Joy comes from stopping the consumption.
And that pairs perfectly with the Thich Nhat Hanh quote included in the chapter.
It is.
When you accept yourself fully, the light of joy begins to shine.
The light of joy. Again, that imagery of radiance and energy.
But look at the condition. When you accept yourself fully, this goes back to the causal sequence. You can't have PD if you are at war with yourself.
You mean criticizing yourself all the time?
If you're constantly criticizing your own mind, you are creating friction. Friction creates heat, but not the good kind. It creates burnout. PD is the energy of a friction-free system.
So if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, okay, I want this zest. I want this high-voltage battery. The instruction is actually counterintuitive.
Very.
It's not go out and find it. It's stop fighting.
Stop fighting the reality of who you are. Stop fighting the moment. The energy you save by ending that internal war is the joy.
This connects back to the very beginning of the RAFT program, Recognize and Abandon. We aren't abandoning things because they're sins.
Not at all.
We're abandoning them because they are heavy.
Exactly. They are inefficient. Craving is inefficient. Aversion is inefficient. Freedom and the joy that comes with it is simply the most efficient state of the human mind.
So let's wrap this up. We've looked at the distinction between mudita, the rope we pull, and piti, the fuel that just arises.
Right. And we've talked about the causal sequence, how freedom from remorse leads to gladness, which sparks this energy.
And we've touched on the trap of excitement. That near enemy that mimics joy but actually drains us.
Yes.
For listeners who are hearing this and thinking, okay, I need to understand the rest of the acronym or I need to see the whole map, where do they go?
Well, the RAFT to Freedom program is a 66-chapter behemoth, but in the best way. It was created by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen.
Okay.
And the incredible thing is that they have made the entire workbook freely available online. You don't have to sign up for anything. You just go to the website.
Which is raft2freedom.org. That's RAFT, the number 2, freedom.org.
That's the one. Whether you are dealing with unhelpful habits, deep-seated patterns, or just general anxiety, the toolkit is really robust. Chapter 47 is just one gear in a very sophisticated machine.
As always, we like to leave you with a bit of a challenge, something to test in the laboratory of your own life.
So the challenge this week is to simply notice the difference between getting and releasing.
What do you mean?
The next time you feel a burst of energy or happiness, ask yourself, is this because I got something I wanted? Or is this because I stopped carrying something I didn't need?
Can you spot the difference between the sugar rush of excitement and the clean fuel of piti?
It's a subtle shift, but once you see it, you can't unsee it.
We'll close with one final thought from the RAFT program, a quote by Martine Batchelor that really sums up the non-striving nature of this joy.
She says, "Joy arises when we stop striving to be different and instead appreciate who we already are, this very moment of awareness."
Stop striving. Start verifying. Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you next time.